Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, February 16th, 2023. Today on the Ether, what's next for the Cosmos ecosystem? A discussion with Pulsar Finance featuring Stakeasy and Zion from TFL. Let's take a listen.
Hey, what's up? Can you hear us? Yudit? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, but Yudit from Stakeasy, can you hear us? You're on mute if you're trying to speak.
Hey guys, can you find now?
Yep. Yeah, we can hear
you. Yeah. Can you hear me well, guys, now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So finally, we're here today. Zion, maybe you can host everything. I'm a little under the weather. But yeah, we'll be glad to speak to you and your audiences and talk a little bit about what's next for Cosmos.
Cool. Yeah, well, why don't we just start off with some personal and project introductions so everyone here kind of gets a lay of the land and in terms of who's speaking and which project we're from. So I can start off here. So my name is Zion. I'm the head of communications at Terraform Labs. And the project, you know, kind of what we're working on at TFL is a variety of different things, but they all kind of center around infrastructure plays to support future Web3 products and services. So these are things like Alliance, which is an open source Cosmos SDK module, which basically allows chains to form economic alliances between one another. And then other things like Feather, which is going to allow chains to spin up in a matter of minutes with a full set of validators and essential ecosystem tools. And then a couple other protocols, as well as an interchain wallet, which is Station. So that's me. And then why don't we jump over to Miguel? If you could give an introduction of yourself and then also Pulsar Finance and what you guys are building there.
Yeah, so my name is Miguel. I'm one of the founders at Pulsar Finance. We came actually from the Web 2.0 world 1 year ago, and we wanted to build a cross-chain portfolio manager. We felt that the space was really lacking a good tool to track your assets, not only tokens, but all your DeFi positions and NFTs. And here we are. We are live on 45 chains. The launch Tron today, and yeah, we're gonna keep pushing until we have full coverage of a user's DeFi positions.
Nice. Yudit, do you want to give a brief introduction of yourself and what you guys are building there with Stakeasy? And by the way, am I pronouncing your name correctly? Is it Yudit?
It's close enough, so it's fine.
So, okay.
Hi guys, I'm Udit from Stakeasy. So we guys have been building Stakeasy for over, I think, an year now. And me and my team have built a few Cosmos and dev tooling before that. And now we are working to have, so Stakeasy essentially is a liquid staking protocol, currently supporting Juno and Secret. And soon enough, it will leverage IBC to even support other Cosmos assets. So yeah, thanks.
Cool. Well, it's nice to meet you guys. And why don't we just jump into the discussion here? So today, kind of the way I'm thinking about structuring this space is we start off by discussing the Cosmos ecosystem and some different thoughts, as well as kind of the roadmaps for our projects. And then from there, we can dive into community questions. If there's anybody in the space that wants to ask a question to any of the speakers up here about anything that we've discussed or didn't discuss, then that'll be the time for that. So we'll leave plenty of time for people to come up and ask their questions, and then we'll wrap up. So probably about an hour in duration is what we're looking at for this space. So why don't we start off with just kind of a discussion generally about Cosmos and the ecosystem at large. So obviously there are a number of different ecosystems or digital nation states, as I like to think of them, within the cryptosphere. And companies like Pulsar and StakeEasy, you know, and TFL as well, like have the ability to choose to decide or decide rather kind of which ecosystem they're going to build within. So Miguel, maybe we'll start with you, but what drew you guys at Pulsar to decide to build within the Cosmos ecosystem? And what do you find most exciting about it?
So let me get through the picture of 1 year ago. When we were starting to build Pulsar, we actually looked at the competitive landscape. We were trying to find a good place to enter. And we actually started building on Terra. We were one of the main dashboards on Terra when we launched. It was our pretty first prototype. And then we realized after the collapse that we definitely wanted to get the full scope of Cosmos. Cosmos was picking up in volume, in number of chains. And to be honest, that drew a lot of attention from us. And we kind of looked at it as a market opportunity, right? If we wanted to go for Ethereum and EVMs, in the beginning, we would not stand a chance against main players like D-Bank, Zapper. The space was already crowded with Zeri and all these other portfolio managers. And to be honest, Cosmos lacked a good portfolio tool at the time. Right now, we are even more bullish on Cosmos as we dive deeper into the roadmap. What excites me most about Cosmos, to be honest, is the interchain accounts. I think it will ramp up adoption in UX by 10x. And to be honest, mesh security is also something that is really interesting. They started talking about it like last year, but I think it still has a long way to go. But the most bullish thing that drew me to Cosmos, it was probably this app chain thesis, like a completely different design from Ethereum and all the other chains. I think like in the end, most chains will adopt IBC, and we already are looking at several ones like Near. We have even Solana, and I'm not sure if Cardano also announced it recently, but all these other chains are going to eventually adopt IBC. But that's my thesis, and that's what we are looking at as we dive into the space.
Yeah, interesting. I think that, you know, interchain accounts and some of the infrastructure that Cosmos offers to builders is some of the most appealing across the cryptosphere. And for us in particular, I think the Cosmos SDK and Cosmosm were two of the key factors that led to the decision to build Terra Classic and that blockchain ecosystem within Cosmos. And I think they continue to be compelling value propositions for potential builders that are thinking about launching either their own chain or also building on an existing chain within Cosmos. But Udit, what are your thoughts here? You know, what drew you guys to decide to build within the Cosmos ecosystem, and what do you find most exciting about it?
So in my case, like, it wasn't initially, I guess, my decision. So like, we started exploring ecosystems just to see what the dev tooling ecosystem was outside Ethereum. So my co-founder, he had already worked on some dev tooling for Algorand blockchain. So we had some ideas that, okay, we can work on dev tooling, and there are existing ideas in different ecosystems that we can utilize and even add our own. So we first started off a secret network, not knowing much about the Cosmos ecosystem and definitely not much about IBC. But then we slowly started to work on Cosmosm. And like, I still to date, like, I don't understand, like, I haven't grasped Solidity that much, but Cosmosm I was able to understand like within a week, which was like really surprising, because like one of the reasons was that since it was Rust, which made it super easy to understand. And then I saw that, okay, what if we can even further simplify this process and make it even better developer experience? And then slowly when we started to build this thing, we realized that, okay, there's a wider ecosystem in Cosmos, and there's a thing called as IBC that once I read about it, it kind of made me think about a lot of ideas, especially in terms of like how UX would be, how developer would interact with it, and how the end user would find it interesting. So yeah, it basically opened up a lot of opportunities that a lot of things can be done. And there's a, so for me, it kind of made sense for me that, okay, I can think of it very logically because it's really simple to understand and has a lot of utilities and has a lot of things that people are still trying to figure out. So it has that perfect balance of like where things are and where things can be. So yeah, so we started to work on how we can expand this thing. We started to see that how other ecosystems such as Juno are adopting to CosmWasm. And like back then when we started, I think Secret and Juno was the only change that, major change that had CosmWasm. Now I think every major Cosmos chain has CosmWasm. And yeah, I think the next step is to think about how the perfect balance would be between IBC and CosmWasm, like whether to have a system like Outpost system or whether to have a completely IBC-based system. Like it depends on especially not just how developers would develop, but also how the market would react to certain products, which would kind of gives you this feedback loop that you can utilize to further make the UX and more the whole ecosystem much more simpler and usable for the end user.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge that just crypto at large faces right now, even beyond the Cosmos ecosystem, which is just improving the UX to get to a stage where regular everyday users that are coming in from Web2 can use this stuff without taking several months or several hours of someone that's very insular to the ecosystem to explain it to them, which today is the case. You know, like for me, when I try and talk to my family about getting them into just crypto in general, setting them up with like a Coinbase account and getting them to think about non-custodial wallet like MetaMask or Station, you know, these sorts of things, like writing down a seed phrase. I mean, this is a completely foreign concept to these people. So we'll have to, I think, you know, that's one of the things that I'm really bullish on are some of these wallet improvements that are coming where we're abstracting away the complexity for users and it's enabling people that, you know, we're starting to get to the point where we can enable people that are not crypto native to use these products and get involved in the DeFi ecosystems that exist that have, you know, as much opportunity as people can imagine in traditional finance space, but even more so in different ways, which will be interesting. But one of the things that I also wanted to talk about in regards to the Cosmos ecosystem was just discussing some of the projects that you guys think are interesting that are building within Cosmos right now. So Miguel, maybe we could start with you. You know, outside of what you guys are building at Pulsar, what are some of the projects that you find most exciting or some of your favorites within Cosmos and what interests you about them?
Yeah, so when I started to invest in crypto, it was back in 2017. And one of my first ever investments was actually was in Ethereum. I discovered crypto through Ethereum, right? And then I went down a rabbit hole and found Torchain. And that's actually one of the projects I'm most bullish on. I think their marketing skills are not as good as their building skills. And they build slow and steady, but their volume is increasing every day. They got integrated into Trust Wallet. I think one of the projects that's one of the projects that really keeps me up at night in terms of excitement, because I see similar visions between the team of Torchain and Pulsar, like a cross-chain global platform where a user can just go from one asset to another. On our case, it's just going from one chain to they can just go from one chain to the other on their portfolio management. And I think we can align really well with their vision. On regards to looking up to this project, I think one cool thing they allow is for you to pretty much have yields on your native BTC. I think this is really underrated. And I think when TorFi DeFi 3.0, what they call it, comes on, I think it will open up the scope for people to just borrow land on their native cryptos. I think this will be quite revolutionary if implemented in the right dApps. Some other projects that I'm really looking forward are Celestia, the modular thesis, and I'm really bullish on Injective as well. They launched soon, and I think Helix app has been having like one of the most amazing volume growth of the last year. I think it's like one of the fastest growing DEXs out there. Yeah, this is just some ideas But yeah, I'm pretty bullish store chain for the long run.
Nice. Yeah, I think there's a lot of really exciting stuff happening in Cosmos right now. One of the things that I'm interested in watching is Skip Protocol, which is an MEV business that's really trying to enable good MEV and discourage bad MEV, which a lot of people would. Obviously, MEV is one of those things that's unavoidable, and it's really just a matter of figuring out how we're going to deal with it. And that kind of comes down to each individual blockchain and their community and how they want to go about addressing it. But I think Skip Protocol has, one, a fantastic team, but two, I think they have the right approach of trying to discourage bad MEV, which are things that I think a lot of people would consider to be negative from a user standpoint, which are things like front running and sandwich attacks, where basically users are, you know, getting taken advantage of by individuals who are able to see the mempool and see transactions before they happen, and then go and take advantage of an opportunity before a user is able to, or they're able to, you know, sandwich attack, like I said, where they take advantage of it from the, you know, putting a transaction ahead of the user's transaction and then after it as well to take advantage of whatever action the user was going to take. So Skip Protocol is building some really interesting stuff to basically enable off-chain auctions for different MEV opportunities and giving that value back to the stakers and the validators for those ecosystems. So they've already deployed in a couple different chains, and I think they're going to be a team to watch. I think there's one other team that I'm aware of that's building MEV solutions in Cosmos, which is, I think, called Mechatech. I don't know too much about them, but it'd be interesting to watch as well. But Udit, why don't we go to you and what are some of your favorite projects that are building within Cosmos and what excites you about them?
I think for the existing projects, I really like those ones that have really good UX. So for example, I was recently like moving some funds from Ethereum to Cosmos, and I was looking into, okay, what are like different ways to move funds around and just to deposit it somewhere, maybe get some yield out of it. So I found that first, XLR is really good at moving funds around, because with IBC, you can move things around really well, but like if you move it to one chain and then to another and then to another, it kind of makes it a different asset. So with XLR, you have just one UX that you can just put your asset into and just say that which chain you want to go, and it'll internally handle all these unwinding and sending back and forth between multiple bridges. And second, I think Astroport has a really good UX for a swap. Like, I think it just took me a few minutes to move my assets over to Astroport and just deposit it and stake it. And yeah, that UX kind of makes really good sense. And from, let's say, from someone who doesn't know much about liquidity, LPs, or swap in general, those people can really use Astroport with ease. And for the upcoming ones, I think those ones I'm looking forward to that. That will be, I think there's Mars and Knowledge Protocol that will be enabling under collateralized loans, which is basically saying that, okay, you can deposit $10 and take out a loan for $100 and put it in a protocol. So that's something that's, I think they're going to leverage smart contracts accounts to do that. So yeah, that's something I think would really revolutionize DeFi and Cosmos. And yeah, that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Interesting. I didn't know that you were Terra native. Are you using Astroport on Terra then?
Yeah, look, I am not Terra native, but I like the whole ecosystem over there. Like, because the usability of Astroport is quite good.
Yeah, it's a really easy DEX to use. And one of the things I like about it as well is the staking of the Astro token. I mean, obviously, none of this is financial advice, but one of the things I find interesting is that you can stake Astro to earn fees from the DEX, and you can unstake it without some long unbonding period. Like most tokens that you stake, you know, there's like a 21-day unbonding period, what have you. For X Astro, you can unstake it immediately, which is really nice in terms of giving you optionality, because you can stake it, earn the yield, and then let's say you want to take profit on your Astro at some point in the future, you know, you can unstake it and then sell that Astro whenever you want on either swapping it to Axel USDC or what have you. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. And I like that Astro is also expanding to these different ecosystems, and it'll be interesting to watch how they expand. I have a lot of faith in the Delphi guys. I know some of them personally, and they're really smart guys. So it'll be interesting to see how Astroport scales. But also on the topic of Cosmos, I think right now liquid staking is a really hot topic within the ecosystem. And I guess we could start with you, Udit. Like, how do you see this vertical evolving in Cosmos over time? And do you see this being kind of a winner take all or winner take most market?
So I don't think that it'll be winner take all. It quite was the case, I think, in Ethereum for Lido, because you still don't have any withdrawals for your staked Ethereum. And so whenever anyone stakes with Lido, I think Lido was the first one to pioneer the liquid staking itself. So they obviously get that. But in case of Cosmos, you see there are multiple chains and not just one. Like for Ethereum, there's just one asset, ETH. I'm sorry, my voice is echoing a bit.
Yeah, I think sometimes there's an issue. There's either a bug with Twitter Spaces or something going on there where, yeah, there's like a slight echo in the back.
Okay. So yeah, I was saying that, first off, I think there are already a few liquid staking derivatives in Cosmos. So there's definitely not going to be a case that one is going to take over others. And second, I think is that, especially in case of Cosmos, you have withdrawals, and withdrawals are there for 14 days, 21 days, 28 days for different Cosmos chains. And yeah, and I've seen a few of the liquid staking derivatives take different approaches towards how they want to build it. So once people get used to how the differences are, and some differences may suit certain use cases for certain users. So yeah, I think it's going to be, if a certain liquid staking derivative caters well to certain use cases, then obviously those users are going to go to that particular implementation. Others might go to the other one depending on how they find that use case better. So certain liquid staking protocols can work very well with lending protocols, or maybe options or perpetuals where like you need your asset to be locked in a vault or a contract for a certain period of time. And there's another possibility where you pair it up with the unstaked asset in a liquidity pool. So yeah, so these two are like the two major utilities of a liquid staking derivative you can have. So what we did was that we have a two liquid staking token approach. So which is, we have SC Juno, B Juno. So like our thesis was that if you have any utility where you want to lock up your asset, that could be lending or options. And let's say if you want to lend out item for 4 months and take some stable coin against it. So after 4 months, you also want to keep that staking yield you got from it. So if it's sitting somewhere, it can be like SC Juno could be the best one for it, because like the SC Juno token, it does not. So one SC Juno token always will be increasing in terms of number of Juno you can withdraw against it. So it could be that currently it's 1:1 ratio, and once, let's say, it's 35% APR roughly. So if you take it out after 1 year, you'll have 1.35 Juno per one SC Juno. So you're depositing the same number of SC Juno, and after a few months, you're taking the same amount of SC Juno. But those tokens now also include your staking rewards with it. But if you apply the same, if you use the same token for a pair, let's say SC Juno Juno pair, now one SC Juno token will always be a different ratio with respect to Juno, so it'll always drift with respect to the unstaked token. So you'll have a fixed, predictable, impermanent loss in the long run. So your LP rewards or your fees generated from the swap must be greater than what you're losing out on that impermanent loss. So that's why we also introduced this other token, which is BJuno. Using this, if you, let's say, deposit into BJuno-Juno pair, now this token will always remain 1:1 pegged with Juno. But you, if you hold it, you can claim your staking rewards just like you would when you normally stake the token. And the contract, let's say the liquidity pair you're depositing into, if it implements that logic where it can redirect those rewards back to the user, now you're not getting that impermanent loss, but you're still able to get the LP rewards and the staking rewards for half of your Juno that you have in the LP token. So yeah, I guess it all depends on who gets to have the best adoption, like the best utilities out there. Like there are numerous DeFi opportunities in Cosmos right now and many more along the way. So I would say just two major things for put any other liquid staking protocol over other is first, the number of utilities it can give, and second is how it can cater to those utilities better than the other.
Gotcha. So you actually see this as like a use case specific thing where it's not going to be winner take most, but there's going to be different LSDs for different use cases.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, I actually echo the sentiment around the importance of protocol integrations. I think that that's one of the most critical things that we see that informs the success of one LSD over another. For instance, on Terra Classic, what we saw was really one key integration with B-Luna on Anchor Protocol, and that informing the overwhelming adoption of B-Luna as the preferred LSD for Luna on Terra Classic. And so that was really primarily driven by the significance and the utility of Anchor Protocol itself. And so I think if, you know, LSDs can win protocol integrations over other LSDs on different protocols, you know, they're going to be more successful than others. I also think the quality of the team is really important because, you know, right now in Terra, we've seen a ton of different LSDs crop up since last year, and Lido has exited the ecosystem at least temporarily. They may return in the future, who knows? But right now, there's no major like resource heavy LSD provider on Terra that's really coming in and swinging their weight around, you know, like Lido was doing in the past, where it basically created kind of a moat just because other teams didn't really want to try and compete with B-Luna. But now, because the bar to the bar to compete on Terra for LSDs is a lot lower, we're seeing a lot more LSDs crop up. In addition to the fact that, you know, there was an LSD that open sourced their code base in Stake, and that's spelled not Stake, STAKE, but STEAK. And they open source their code base, and then other people have just basically been forking their code base and then launching their own LSDs on Terra. But I don't really think that's going to be effective because you really need to be able to build your own LSD from the ground up and scale it and get integrations and attract liquidity. And I think there's only really a couple LSDs that are really working actively on integrations and are doing an effective job at it. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that space evolves on Terra and beyond overall. But, you know, we're seeing protocols like Aris and others that are going to adjacent ecosystems and taking Luna staking derivatives over to those and looking for use cases there. So, you know, that's pretty interesting as a use case for Luna LSDs, because it's not just about the utility that they can garner on protocols on Terra, but also the utility they can garner on adjacent ecosystems where you can obviously, you know, IBC these assets over, bridge them over, and use them to do different things like lending or borrowing on these different chains. So yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. Miguel, do you have any thoughts on liquid staking in terms of, you know, do you see this as a winner take all or winner take most market? And how do you see the vertical evolving over time?
Now, I actually share the same opinion as you did. I think Ethereum and Lido got a really privileged situation there. And Rocket Pool and other LSDs are winning market share every single day. And on regards to Cosmos, I see it on the application layer. There are some LSDs that can have a lot of sense when integrated with some protocols, but there's also another set of, I would separate this into application layer specific derivatives. And if you, the other sector would be more governance specific derivatives. And I think when you deploy your tokens in DeFi, you give up the ability to participate in governance voting, right? I think there will be a lot of, a great way to tackle this issue is kind of to use maybe interchain accounts and enable users to actually, when they stake their assets with liquid staking providers, to allow them also to participate in governance. I think this feature will be highly requested, and the first ones to actually deploy this will get a significant market share. But that's like for people who are into voting on governance. Now, on the other regards, I think if you can win, like you mentioned, portable integrations, and that's another scope of LSDs that have a lot of room to compete.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Because I've seen, we also have been working in this voting. So one of the things I was exploring was that why not just, because for example, if you have a liquid staking token, if someone mints a liquid staking token, it most likely is going to be that they're going to use it in some DeFi protocol. So they're not going to be holding it as compared to when you directly stake your token. That's the only thing you do. So you always have that voting power. But if you allow just your voting power for the liquid staking derivative, you are taking an assumption that they're going to hold it in their wallet. So so what approach I am thinking right now is that if you know that what are the major avenues they're going to use it for, maybe allow those, let's say an LP token of a pool which has a liquid staking derivative in it. You apply a logic on a protocol level saying that, okay, one LP token of this pair will equate to this many liquid staking derivative token and this many votes. So anyone who has liquidity in a derivative pool, they can also vote. Or maybe who has taken a loan against their liquid staking derivative, they can also vote. So I think that would make more sense, but obviously that's something even more complicated and would require much more testing. But yeah, definitely, I think that would be more of a utility, I think.
Yeah, I think that will open up the game for a lot of different strategies. You can even loop your LSDs and borrow against them and actually augment the number of votes you have. So that's just some ideas to explore there. But I think once you open up interchain accounts and on Cosmos, it will open up the possibilities for users to do a lot of things on regards to LSDs and governance voting.
Yeah. Also, one of the things I found interesting was that...
Yeah, we can hear you now, Zion.
I think my connection was bad and I accidentally dropped off.
Yeah, you're back.
Okay, cool. Why don't we jump into roadmaps now? We're talking a little bit about liquid staking here. So Stakeasy, why don't you kick us off? And could you talk a little bit about your upcoming roadmap, what you guys are planning on focusing on, and any alpha that you'd like to drop for the listeners here?
So in terms of product, we are currently working on expanding the offering to other Cosmos and chains. So I can't share which ones, but there are going to be a couple of them which I will announce probably this month or the next. And second thing, as I mentioned, we are also working on implementing the voting for the liquid staking derivative. And also some changes on the side, how we decide which validators we stake to. So that will slowly move even further to the DAO. Currently, what we do is we have a certain number of validators we stake to, and that slowly expands over time. But the validators we choose based on different parameters, but it's only chosen by the team. And so that will slowly announce how we'll shift it to the DAO itself, and how not just the DAO will be controlling it, but the full control will be on the DAO itself. So yeah, these three things I'm really excited about, and probably in the next 3-4 months, these will be rolled out.
Nice. And how do people take advantage of what you guys have to offer today? Like, how do people take advantage of StakeEasy's LSG solutions?
So our solution, it's already live on Secret and Juno. On Juno, we have integrated with Wind, and we have integrated with Loop. These both are DEXs. I think we have four pairs on Loop. No, sorry. Yeah, actually, four pairs on Loop and four pairs on Wind. And on Secret, we have integrated with Secret Swap and Sienna Swap. And Lending is not live yet, but we are looking into ways how we can integrate that. So yeah, if you want to liquid stake your Juno or Secret, you can go to stakeeasy.finance and check it out.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. And then Miguel, why don't we jump over to you, and then I'll give some thoughts on TFL's roadmap. But what are some of the stuff that you guys are looking to focus on this year at Pulsar? What does your upcoming roadmap look like?
Yeah, so similar to StakeEasy, we really want to increase the number of chains that we track for users. There's users constantly requesting new chains. Of course, the biggest TVL is still in Ethereum and EVMs. So we're definitely tackling that as we speak. And in the next 3 to 4 months, you're going to see a much more complete dashboard that has all. Our goal is like in the next 3 to 4 months to be like one of the main DeFi dashboards to track all your assets. On regards to other features, we have a lot of things on the table. We still want to discuss amongst ourselves, but there's a lot of ideas thrown around. There's a lot of potential paths for Pulsar. We as a portfolio manager can explore different features such as going into integrating smart contracts more in depth so that users can execute inside our dashboard, or maybe just go and continue building analytics, more detailed analytics for each user's wallet. So there's a lot of possibilities here, but I can definitely tell you that in the next 3 to 4 months, a lot of things are not definitely coming out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually really like Pulsar's dashboard, and I use it for Terra. One of the things I really like about the dashboard that you guys have created is the fact that you can aggregate wallets in there. So you can connect multiple wallets, like multiple station wallets, for instance, if you're on Terra. And, you know, I think if you're more of a power user, you know, like DeFi user across Cosmos, Pulsar is like an essential tool to have in your toolkit, because you can aggregate different wallets and then see your assets across those different wallets all in one, you know, easy to see interface, which is really nice, because, you know, like if you're tracking your portfolio on like a month to month basis, like I do, it's nice to be able to go into one interface, just add all of your wallets, and then see the aggregated like portfolio value and composition of your wallet across different assets in just a matter of seconds. So yeah, hats off to you guys for building a really cool interface. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys are releasing in the coming months here.
Thanks, Zion. And it's glad to receive that feedback. I think the team is listening, and then they're all psyched for sure.
Cool. Yeah, I guess to talk a little bit about what we're working on at TFL right now, I'm super excited, obviously, about everything that we have launched and what we have coming down the pike. But just so everyone's aware, you know, there's really a variety of different things that we're working on. We just released our Interchain wallet in Station last month. And if you guys haven't checked that out, definitely check it out. You can find links to the Station wallet at terra.money. If you go into the Learn tab there, you'll find some tabs that will help you get started with Station. But it's an Interchain wallet. We have already integrated a number of different chains, for instance, like Mars and Osmosis and a variety of others. And really the goal there with Station is just to abstract away the complexity for users so that in the future, they're not going to need to worry about, you know, which chain they're interacting with at any given point in time. They're just going to be able to plug into Station and execute transactions across different chains at will and through a simple and easy to use interface. Outside of that, one of the things that I'm really excited about right now is the Alliance module. And if you guys aren't familiar with the Alliance module and what that is and what it's going to enable for the Cosmos ecosystem, you should check out the announcement that we have pinned to the Terra Money Twitter account, which walks you through actually the incentivized testnet game that we've launched this last week, which is called the Game of Alliance. And so what the Alliance module does at a high level is it's really an economic tool that digital nation states or blockchains, however you want to think about them, can use to basically implement more sophisticated monetary policy. So if you think about blockchains as digital nation states, there's really not a great way right now for nations to trade amongst one another. There's not a great way to align incentives. So the Alliance module is our contribution towards enabling that vision for blockchains to be able to effectively align incentives amongst one another and also with developers and users. So really the way that it works is blockchains will, through governance, vote in to integrate the Alliance module. And the Alliance module then enables the staking of really any arbitrary asset. So this could be assets from other ecosystems. This could be asset like tokens from existing protocols on blockchains to be staked at the protocol level. And so now what you can do is you can divert native L1 staking yield or fees to either other L1 assets that are staked over on your chain or protocol assets that are staked on your chain. So these could be, for instance, like on Terra, an example of this could be Astroport. So Terra could vote in that one of the Alliance assets that's staked there is Astro. And now we're aligning incentives with the builders of Astroport with the Terra ecosystem as a whole. And we're able to divert some of the fees of Terra to Astro stakers, for instance. So the Astro stakers would then earn, depending on their reward weight that is set on the Alliance module, some portion of Luna staking yield and staking fees. So it's really interesting because the Alliance module, once we launch it on mainnet, is going to enable a brand new way to align incentives between chains. So you'll see, depending on chain size and liquidity, you'll see different chains integrating the Alliance module to accomplish different things. So there's a variety of different use cases. And if you guys want to learn more about some of these use cases as well, you should check out the Alliance documentation, which on the overview page outlines the Alliance use cases. So you can find that at alliance.terra.money, I believe. And some of these use cases are things like attracting users and liquidity. So what you could do as an L1 is you could integrate the Alliance module. You could set the take rate, which is the amount of Alliance assets that are distributed to the native chain stakers, to 0%. And then what you're effectively doing is you're basically saying other chains can come and bring their assets over, let's say, like an LSD from Terra, for instance, and they could say, okay, we're going to enable the Alliance module and allow ST Luna to be staked on our chain. And those ST Luna stakers are able to earn a boosted and diversified yield in the form of our native chain's staking token. And then as a result, our chain, our smaller, lower liquidity, maybe newer chain, is able to kind of bootstrap the economic viability of our chain through the value of these staked assets in our chain. So you're basically able to help this fledgling chain get going while also offering the stakers of the adjacent chain or the Alliance chain to earn a boosted and diversified yield in the form of not only the staking yield that they're earning from Terra, but also the staking yield of this new example chain. And there's other use cases as well. These can be found in that overview page. I won't go into a ton of them here, but right now we have the Game of Alliance live, which is pretty exciting and kind of the first step of launching the Alliance module. So you guys can check that out in that thread that we posted from the Terra Money account that's pinned at the top there. But this is an incentivized testnet that both users and validators can participate in to earn a potential airdrop from a chain that we're going to be announcing soon, which is going to be a chain that integrates the Alliance module. And we'll have an airdrop of its own, which will go to different people across Cosmos, as well as people that participate in the Game of Alliance competition. So there's bounties that you can participate and compete in, and there's also missions that you can complete, both as a user and as a validator, to earn points that will go towards the airdrop allocation for this new chain. So definitely check that out. And then really at a high level, like what Terra is doing is we're building infrastructure that supports the future of Web3 products and services. So you can see that across all these different things. I mean, Station is a great example of this, which we've already launched. Like chain integrations on Kepler, for instance, cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And an integration on Station costs $0. And so really what we're trying to do is give chains the opportunity to integrate on Station and leverage infrastructure that makes it easy for their users to interact with their chain and complete cross-chain transactions. So yeah, at a high level, that's kind of what we're working on. And there's some other stuff that we have coming down the pike, like Feather. And we just launched Warp Protocol as well, which enables decentralized automation on the Terra blockchain. So this is kind of like the decentralized automation layer for protocols that are building on Terra. So if there's anyone listening that's building an application on Terra or considering, you can leverage Warp now that's live on mainnet to essentially lower your cost of automation. So a lot of protocols need to automate certain features. And so you can now utilize Warp to do that in a decentralized way by tapping into essentially a network of people that execute different future transactions for you. So if you want to learn more about Warp, definitely check out the announcement that Warp Protocol just released on Twitter earlier this week. But yeah, I'll pause there. And then I think maybe this is a good time for us to jump over to any community questions that people have for anyone up here on the panel. So if anyone in the audience has any questions about either the roadmaps for these different teams or some of the topics that we've discussed or anything related, feel free to request to speak by pressing that microphone button at the bottom left of your phone. And then Pulsar will bring you up here. Miguel will bring you up, and then you can ask your question. In the meantime, while we're waiting for questions from the audience, maybe something interesting to talk about would be like a Cosmos wish list. So obviously there's a lot of different things that are being built out in Cosmos right now, but even all-star builders, they only have so much time in the day. You know, you guys only have so much time in the day. We at TFL only have so much time in the day to build different things. So if you guys had like a Cosmos wish list of things that you'd like to see get built that you just don't have time to build yourselves, what do you think would be on it? Miguel, let's start with you.
Yeah, cool. So I have a few requests on my wish list, but maybe start with those that have been most troublesome the last year. So definitely we need more stable coins in Cosmos. Would love to have some kind of triple like we have in Curve on Osmosis would be amazing. Right now we just have Bridge Axler USCC. We have the volume is not so high. I think people are still quite away from centralized bridges. And I think once native USDC comes to Cosmos, this will change the game. But definitely we need more stable coins in the ecosystem. That's one of my takes. Not sure if other teams are building. I know USK from Kujira is also quite good, and there's other teams. There's a lot of rumors that other teams are building stables under wrap, but yeah, nothing out there yet. We definitely need, as a second point, we definitely need better tooling on governance and community pool spending. I feel that, for example, we are a free tool for all Cosmos ecosystem, right? And one of the things that we struggle is to get, for example, grants across all these different ecosystems. I see that it's quite hard to get all these ecosystems synced in a way that a grant would be pushed amongst them all. I think what could work in the future, perhaps, is when we have interchain accounts on Cosmos, maybe multi-chain DAOs will be available that can
manage community funds across all these different chains, and maybe we can have like a governance voting for grants on a cross-chain level. That would be easier, but we're still such a long way from there. And right now, I feel there's no good tooling on governance and community pools spending. And one last thing that would be cool is that people should get better education on the power of validators and their political alliances. So I see this happening a lot, and there's a lot of issues now with stake as a service providers and people thinking that they have a lot of voting power. Definitely needs, this tooling needs to improve, and this education needs to, on governance needs to be better. Some kind of module that the more stake amount you have, maybe the less voting power you have, something like that. I don't know, but I feel that there's definitely needs on this infrastructure on regards of governance that need to be addressed.
Yeah, I agree. I think the the governance process across Cosmos could see a variety of different improvements. And you know, you're right in saying I think we also need a decentralized stablecoin. I know that's something that I value a lot, and I think a lot of people in the Terra community, you know, that were there from the Terra Classic days, want that vision to come to light at some point in the future. So we'll have to see who ends up building that out and doing so successfully. It'll be interesting to see like future versions of decentralized stablecoins and kind of the approach that they take. I think it's kind of the holy grail of crypto, and it's only a matter of time before we see it metastasize in some way.
Right now, the space is quite scared, and the funding has dried out for algo stables. But yeah, would be cool to see what comes next on that regard.
Yep, absolutely. Udit, why don't we go to you? What's on your Cosmos wish list?
Firstly, I agree that there's a work required on the grant side, because I've seen cases where like things happen that grants were given either without discussing much, and then no one was keeping track of what the status was of the team that was working on that grant. And yeah, I think certain DAO toolings can be built. Maybe DAO from Juno can build something for that. So yeah, there's a lot of things that can be built out in that direction where you can quantify things and say that, okay, this particular DAO for just for grants, and it has a certain features that caters to maybe keeping track of what the milestones were and what they achieved or not. And from my wish list, I would say, like, from a developer perspective, I would really love a lot of testing frameworks. Like, I would say, like, on every level of the Cosmos stack, like, even on IBC, Cosmosm, on the Cosmos SDK, like, I think whatever amount of testing is there is still less. So more testing is definitely good. And yeah, one thing I really would like to see, maybe I might look into building that out with someone, but is something that is a simulation. Like, I think on Ethereum, there are folks who have built out this good simulation engine, which a lot of dApps have integrated that. For instance, I think on Aave, if there's a governance vote, and before that voting period ends, anyone who's voting for that governance proposal can execute that on a mainnet fork of Ethereum, just a simulation to see what the effect of that proposal would be, just to see if it's not a spam or not, or if it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Like, it's not a major concern right now in Cosmos, but I've seen like small instances where there's a proposal, there are parameters where like they're misspelled or a certain parameter is missing. So even after that proposal passes, the team is not able to execute that because the parameter is wrong. They have to redo it again. So that's a small thing, but if you scale that out and maybe add more complexities to it, then it can be a real pain. And yeah, I think this, if you further extend it to the, let's say, chain upgrades, where like you can execute the chain upgrade in a simulation before actually passing it through governance, you can see whether this upgrade will break or not, and what will the effects of this upgrade on the current state of chain. And I think that would really help a lot, just to see what are even the economic effects of these changes. Because like I see certain, like whenever a DeFi related chain does something and makes an upgrade, add some feature that might, so like as a developer, you know that, okay, this is how it's going to be behaving on the technical side, but it's still a bit unknown on the side, on the economic side. Like it might depend on how the volatility goes, or there might be some economic edge cases you might have missed. So I think those use cases and those test cases for those particular thing, for the, let's say for doing a, let's say for a stable coin, you can have a testing framework which gives you the historical test for last 1 month of chain data that you can backtrack and test upon and show the community that, okay, this is the result of the past 1 month of the on-chain data. And I think that would give much more security to the whole ecosystem in general and make it much more safer. Because I think safety is one of the key features. Right? Like you don't want to go to zero just because a small thing was missed out before by testing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a salient point to make. I think it's important. I think there's a lot of different ideas here for builders across the cosmos that are listening in to think about and, you know, might potentially build. So yeah, appreciate you guys sharing those ideas and those thoughts. I think now might be a good time to wrap up. Doesn't look like we have any questions outstanding. So Miguel, why don't we start off with you? Where can listeners find you online? And is there anything you'd like to leave them with? Any closing thoughts or resources you'd like to point them towards?
Yeah, so everyone can find me on Twitter under DeFi Miguel. And if you have any feedback while using our dashboard, feel free to DM us. We are quite open to feedback. And yeah, we're here building. It's a bear market. But things are looking good on our end.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely check them out. And Udit, what about you?
Yeah, I think, basically my personal Twitter account, it's kind of, I use it for shit posting. So I would rather not say that one. But yeah, you can contact us through this Twitter account at the rate stake easy, and you can contact us on our Discord or Twitter, or even our Telegram channel. You can find us at stakeasy.finance. And there we have all the links that you might need. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And you can find me here, obviously, at Zion_Shum. And definitely check out the Game of Alliance if you guys haven't already. This is live. It'll be going for the next about 2 weeks. And so check that out. It's the pinned tweet at the top of the @Terra_money Twitter account. And you can find all the rules and details about prizes and how to get started with missions and bounties there. So you can participate in that and then look out for the official release of Alliance coming up quite soon. Thank you guys so much for having me. This is awesome.
Thank you so much for being the host, Zion.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Absolutely. All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was What's Next for the Cosmos Ecosystem, a discussion hosted by Pulsar Finance with StakeEasy and Zion from TFL. Recorded on Thursday, February 16th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody want to rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the base stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around 3/4 of a cent each time someone listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the 8th dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish, out to make a deal just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw, shit, now you only got 2 left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.
Spaces.